Well, Fina here. My webcomic Sombulus is returning to action this week, so whether you're catching the latest updates or want another epic and heartwarming fantasy story in your life about magical goofballs and bad puns, you should check it out. Catch updates every Tuesday and Thursday at Sombulus.com. All right, on to the episode.
Just do it!
Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday,
you
said tomorrow.
So just do it! Face your dreams!
Hello, and welcome to Screen Tones, where we talk anything and everything webcomics. Today, we're going to be talking about 3D models. I'm Vera Thane. I use she, they pronouns, and I make the comics Geralt and Witchwood.
And I am Ray. I use they, them pronouns, and I make the webcomics On Empyrean High and Overlord of Ravenfell.
And I'm Star. My pronouns are she, her, and I make the webcomic Cast Off.
All right. One tool that webcomic artists can take advantage of to help save time and sanity is 3D models. Whether you're tracing them directly or using them for reference, they can help you to visualize very complex places, objects, or character poses from different angles in your comic art. So we're going to talk about them. First question, how have you used 3D models in your work? I'm going to pass the baton to Ray.
I personally use them for things that I want to save time on. Probably my first instance of using 3D models was when I was having a lot of trouble making a airship for my comic. And I went on Sketchfab and just downloaded a junk ship and then added wings to it when I was drawing it. And then I was like, oh, hey, this is kind of cool. So I started looking for some of the assets that could be relevant to me. But this is also very dangerous because it's kind of like fonts. You can download a lot of them and not actually use them. But if you stick to the ones that are only relevant to you, they can be very useful.
I have that problem with brushes as well, like custom brushes in any digital software. At one point, I think I had like 300 of them, and I used probably two.
Mood. Sometimes you go, but what if I happen to need this urban cityscape despite only doing fantasy comics?
Yes. What if I need chain link? Chain links, just a whole bunch of chains.
Just so many of them.
And, you know, just like that. How about you, Star?
So for me, I actually didn't use 3D models in Cast Off for a majority of it. I would occasionally, like, if there was a weird pose that I couldn't get a good reference for, like it was an action pose or something, I would occasionally go in and, like, pose a 3D model and help me with that. But I usually didn't bother until I got to this one chapter where most of it took place in one indoor room, and there were a lot of shelves with little things on the shelves, and I was just like, I don't, this is gonna be a pain to keep consistent between panels. What if I just made a little SketchUp model of it? And so I started using an app called Room Sketcher, and I would I build my sets, and then I would take screenshots of those different sets. And I would just kind of put them in my background and I would trace over them. I never use them like straight from the software. I always trace over them just because I think it makes it look a little bit more integrated. And then once I did that, I realized how much easier it was to get creative with like weird camera angles if you didn't have to worry about like doing all the perspective from scratch. And so I'm like, oh, this has unlocked something in me. And so now basically any interior where there's a lot of perspective that I have to work with, or there's a lot of stuff like the current chapter that I'm working on, basically the entire chapter takes place in the same room from a bajillion different angles. And I'm like, okay, so here's the bed and here's where these books are and here's where these little bottles are and all this stuff. And it just saves literal hours of having to sketch all my backgrounds and make sure that everything's in the exact same place and make sure that I'm remembering exactly how many books are on each shelf. Stuff that, like, probably wouldn't get noticed by readers, but if people are, like, checking, it's important for consistency in a lot of cases, which is why I focus on it more. I do still occasionally, like, if I'm really struggling with a pose, I'll bust out, like, my little 3D model poser. But for the most part, it's just me and Blender and my weird dumping ground of, like, little blocky pieces of furniture that I have made against the world.
Man, I love the idea of, like, that the room sketcher one especially. I feel like it's a similar kind of idea to some folks that I know who have made, like, rooms in The Sims, which just, it's so clever. Like, man, why didn't I do that when I played The Sims?
I see some people go in Final Fantasy and build rooms in there and then go, okay, I'm going to just trace this and this is the interior for my latest illustration.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't actually recommend Room Sketcher. It was kind of a pain because it wasn't like in other 3D programs where you could just like pan around the model and then export exactly what you're looking at. You have to like type in what angle the camera is at and like you have to You pose the camera on a 2D plane and then you say, okay, what angle is the camera at, like your up and down axis? And I'm just like, can't you just show me what my, and like trying to put stuff on a shelf, forget about it. So there are better options. I just used that one for a while because I was too scared to go figure out Blender. And then I figured out Blender and it wasn't actually that hard. And I'm just like, I'm never going back actually.
That is fair. There's something to be said for something that's like easy and convenient to get started using, but usually that comes with a compromise of less customizability and like
oh,
less
very much.
Options. I had kind of come at the 3D thing from, I guess, a bit of a different angle because I work professionally in 3D animation for a long time. But that was kind of kept very separate from my work in comics for the most part. At least for the first few years, I was doing, I did textures for cartoons, and I was trained in the whole 3D modeling process as well as like some of the subsequent steps like modeling and rigging and like the animation part, compositing, lighting, camera moving, all that sort of thing. Because I was doing that all day long, I would just kind of walk away and be like, that's cool stuff. Has nothing to do with the stuff that I'm drawing, though. It took until, well, I guess part of it is that the comic that I was working on for a long time in those early days was Geralt, which was 100% traditional. So anything that I referenced into those pages would be in the sense of I'm looking at it on another monitor and then looking down at my page to draw it, kind of like an eyeballing sort of thing. And I didn't start really doing comics digitally until I finished Geralt and I was doing some short stories and then Witchwood. And that was kind of the point when I was working on a comic page on the computer screen that I was like, hang on a minute. I've got these like complex rooms. It's a sci-fi comic. So it's got like ships and like fancy technology and weird things in it. And I'm like, what if I could just make this layout a tiny bit easier for myself? I've decided to make this set be like a lab that's in a room shaped like the inside of a dodecahedron. There's got to be a way that I can combine these two skill sets that I have. And I didn't have a ton of time for the modeling. One thing that working in 3D definitely kind of taught me is that it takes a lot of time. And to get a model looking really nice, you do really have to sit down with it. And I feel like it also made me hesitant to download models. Just gave me this general sense of like, but I really should make it. Like, I should make it myself, which was part of what I guess prevented me from like really using a ton of it. So I would do very, very simplistic models in Maya, because that's the program that I'm trained in, where I would just take like basically a primitive 3D shape, like a cube or a sphere or whatever, and just kind of move it into like the position that I wanted, like manipulate the vertexes into something like the shape that I was after. And then I would grab like a few screenshots of kind of the angle that was closest to what I needed and store those away in a little folder for later. A little later, when I started using Photoshop and then I switched to Clip Studio, I started occasionally digging into the 3D models that program has kind of saved into it. If anyone listening is familiar with Clip Studio, or if you're not, it has a pretty robust collection of 3D like poses, as well as posable character models. Not characters, really. They're just like mannequins, basically, like the digital equivalent of those three, the wooden like artists models things that they have in like art stores. But you can manipulate all of their limbs, move them around into different poses. They have like a male and female-ish variant with like a slight variation in body type, and you can like move them around and move the camera around within Clip Studio, and then turn down the layer opacity and kind of use that as a guide to draw over. And I found those to be pretty handy. I think you can also download more like customized models as well into the program. And there's a bunch of other stuff that it has saved, like cars and guns and complex things like that, that I have not really touched yet. For the most part, I try to stick to pretty simple things.
You can actually also import models from other programs into CSP, not just Blender and Maya, but even things like Vroid Studio. I think you can actually download the models into CSP and use your little 3D VTuber as your character model in there. But yeah, it's very robust. It might slow down your computer the more you download things, though, because, you know, 3D models are really big files.
Yeah, I also think that in more recent versions of Clip Studio, I haven't played around with this because I don't really use the 3D tools in Clip Studio. I should, but I haven't yet. I'm pretty sure I've heard that you can actually make like custom proportioned models in Clip Studio. And so you can fix it to match your characters exactly if that's something that you're interested in.
Yeah, they also actually added special, you can create special head proportions, like just the head. And you can fiddle around with the facial features and stuff. It's very robust to the point where you can even like make aliens and stuff, really weird looking things like that.
Or anime girls with them big old peepers.
The classic.
Oh, definitely anime girls.
This is actually, we've already kind of gotten started on this subject, but this leads into my second question, which is, how do you get or make 3D models to use? And what kind of issues can come up as you use them?
Well, for me, I primarily use Clip Studio. I'll try to get with the basic things. They actually added something called primitives, which are just like essentially planes and very basic shapes that you can also use. I've seen people use them to make glasses a lot easier for them, for instance.
Oh, I need that for me.
But if I need something very specific, like my junk ship, I'll usually go onto a website like Sketchfab. A lot of the things aren't free there, but they're usually at least decently cheap. So it's there. You do have a lot of options since you can essentially import straight into the program. I do say that the main problem I have had with things like Sketchfab is CSP often won't import the textures of the items. And that hasn't really been a problem for me since I usually just trace over the item using it as like a sketch reference. But I can see that being an issue for someone that wants to just use the asset straight out.
Yeah, as far as me, like I said, I used to use pre-made stuff a lot more. Now I basically just make it all myself, which sounds intimidating. However, because I'm tracing over them anyway, I just make the derpiest, blockiest, like little 3D models of just like, this is a chair. Cube, make it flat, give it legs, give it a back. It's a chair. And I'll usually just, you know, like add a little bit of extra detail when I'm in the process of tracing over it. Bookshelf. It's a rectangle with other rectangles on it. Fantastic. Oh, here's a door in an archway. Whoa! It's a couple of cubes stuck together.
So sometimes it's like, that's all you need.
Sometimes it's all you need. And like, really, I wouldn't want anything more detailed than that. Because it's just like, they just have to look approximately like the right object because I'm going to be tracing over them anyway. If my 3D modeling professor from college saw some of the stuff I was building, he would have a conniption and take my diploma back. But again, since I am just tracing on top of them and not using them for anything other than that, it's fine. Don't come at me, professor. Please. Please don't take my diploma away. My bad edge flow.
Oh, putting the phone down.
No. No, don't rat me out. He doesn't even teach there anymore, I don't think.
But yeah, I'm basically in the same camp. When it comes to the 3D models that I use within my comic, I'm not really using them in the comic. I use them as reference for the comic. I know there are creators out there who directly use the models mm-hmm. within the page. I think it's one of the things that is almost a standard in some like webtoons and things
like
that.
Oh, very much. You can, on some webtoons, you can see it's, have you ever like been reading a comic and you see, ah, yes, the aliased straight line in the background yeah. and you're just like 3D model.
Oh yeah. When the backgrounds are like so like artificial and clearly 3D, especially juxtaposed with like the style that the characters are drawn in, you're mm-hmm. like, okay, I see what you're doing. Sometimes you can even tell the characters themselves are 3D. That's mm-hmm. just been rendered with like a toon shader kind of approach.
Yeah.
And it tends to look very stiff.
Yeah.
So I think that's honestly the biggest real issue. There's other things that can come up, like for sure if you're downloading models, depending on how you plan to use them, you can run into like copyright related issues, so you'd want to be careful with kind of where you source things depending on how they're being incorporated. If you're making your own, then that part is not an issue itself. It's just a matter of making the renders look appealing. Part of how this was kind of explained to me all the way back, redacted amount of years ago when I was in animation school. The professor was telling us at the very beginning about like basically 3D is not intended to be a still medium, like at its core. It depends on how it's rendered now that there's a lot of toon shaders out there, but there's something like about the nature of a 3D render that is basically tricking our brain into thinking we're looking at something real. And then it also has this little bit of a jarring, like, but it's not moving. If it's real, it should be moving. So a lot of 3D, like even some really like very well-known and huge like 3D animated properties, the core appeal is in the animation itself, and a lot of the promotional imagery, you have to do a lot of work to make it look as appealing in and of itself. Definitely the industry has gotten really good at that sort of thing. There's like a bunch of standard kind of treatments that make everything look super colorful and flashy. It usually involves including a lot of 2D effects on the like incorporated into the promotional art. But it's something that like if you're using 3D directly in a 2D medium such as comics, you've definitely got to put a lot of extra work in to make it look appealing and not just like a kind of stiff, I don't know, flat. There's a, mm-hmm. It's hard to describe. It's like, it's kind of a variant of Uncanny Valley. You can just sort of tell. So I would say that is something to watch for. But if you are just kind of doing like that approach of like, I just need something to inform me about how the perspective of this space or this object or this complicated prop would look, then so long as you're drawing it over, like you're matching it to the style of the rest of your art and it feels unified and it feels like a whole thing, then that should be okay. I mentioned before that I try to make my own models, with the exception of occasionally using the Clip Studio poseables to kind of tweak a character into place. If I'm doing some kind of crazy overhead angle and I'm like, I don't know, this is a headache to figure out. I need a reference and I can't find anything appropriate like in a photograph. So time for the 3D. I've also built... most of the models that I build are so basic. It's basically like, here's some cubes and spheres. I could share some of my screenshots eventually. They're hilarious. But I did build a space... I call it a spaceship. That's the most... It'll probably make people picture the right thing. They don't go to space in my comic. But anyway, I built the ship because it was going to repeat a lot. I was going to have to draw a whole bunch of this thing, and it was going to be a complex form. And I was like, I'm just going to make it like upfront before it appears for the first time so that I can use this model to basically trace over and repeat when I need to draw it in the hangar bays or flying around or whatever. I drew that thing like 100 times and the model was so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we could go into the third question. And I mean, all of these questions, I feel like we're kind of covering like bits and pieces of them through each other. But the final query is, what is your advice to someone who is looking to use 3D models in their work and integrate them smoothly?
Okay, when I use 3D models, I use them kind of as like the base sketch layer of whatever I'm working on, rather than using them as, you know, straight 3D model type thing. So I'll sometimes just blur them so I don't try to go straight against the sharp edges of the model, and I'll just treat it as a sketch. I don't need to be completely faithful to it, because that's honestly where a lot of stiffness comes from. You'll often see that with people who trace from photos, and particularly for figures. And I would actually also say, if you use the figures for CSP, it really does help to have a solid foundation in life drawing before you do so, because that should help you a lot with the mistakes in the weights and how the muscles are laying than just looking straight at the model and trying to copy that faithfully. Because I'll see a lot of things and I'll go, that was made from a CSP model, because it just kind of makes no sense in how it's posed, or because the creator was trying to be way too faithful to it. So honestly, you just need to take it as a starting point rather than as an end point.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because one of the things that, I make a lot of videos talking, and I've talked about this in videos before, where it's like, yeah, you can use 3D models to make things easier. And I then see some folks who are like, you know, maybe less experienced artists being like, oh, well, then why do I need to learn perspective if I can just do the 3D model and just use that? Well, the thing is, 3D models cannot ultimately replace a knowledge of how perspective and backgrounds work, I would argue, because a lot of times when I'm using my 3D models, I don't trace direct. Like, okay, I'm tracing on top of them, but a lot of the times I do go in and change things where it's like, okay, the 3D model says that the bed is over here, but I think that the bed would look a little better if I scooched it over this way, but the act of scooching it is going to change the angle of it slightly. And so I need to change the angle of it slightly using my knowledge of perspective that I've learned and harnessed through multiple years of drawing boxes on 3D planes.
Yeah, I do think that the main benefit of using 3D models is it can actually push you to be a lot braver in the angles and perspectives that you might not feel confident enough to use otherwise.
100%. But yeah.
Definitely scooch that bed over, though.
Scooch that bed.
It's definitely not a replacement for like knowledge of perspective. And I think part of that is that some of what people say is like knowing perspective is also like the rules of composition and just knowing how to structure a scene and recognizing that like when you're posing your characters in a long hallway and like it has very strong diagonal lines, like you can use where those lines are pointing to like guide the viewer's eye and stuff like that. There's a lot of like things that are very interconnected with each other. And even if you do use 3D, understanding like what makes a certain perspective work fundamentally, and what will make things look right versus what will make things look subtly off to the viewer is like, mm-hmm. it's so useful.
Yeah. For me, my process in general is I will go in and I thumbnail all my pages for a scene first, and then decide on the compositions and the camera angles and everything. And then only after I'm satisfied with that will I then go in and get all of that footage or all those screenshots from that specific angle. And then if I need to tweak anything at that point, I will. But the composition always comes first, and knowing how to set up a composition feeds back into you got to know your perspective before you start using the fancy tools. It's like giving a blowtorch to somebody who doesn't know how to light a candle. And it's like, yes, this is very helpful, but you really should learn ABC first.
Yeah, not to mention if you are working from multiple models, like say you have your characters in a space that is like in any way customized, which I hope it is if it's part of a story. Mm-hmm. You have like a 3D model of like the room, and then a 3D model of like a piece of furniture, and then a 3D model of something else, like making sure that they're all like in the same plane and they have matching perspective if they're on separate layers or like yeah. being assembled together in any way, like just knowing how to integrate things like that is going to be useful.
100%. Yeah, because usually, so I do all of my 3D models in Blender, but if I ever use a character model, which I usually don't, it's very funny though. I can send you guys pictures of what this looks like because it is ridiculous. One of the things that I give my Patreon supporters is I will give them like the high-res file of the page, but then also I'll give them work in progress shots of every step of making the comic, which is like thumbnails and then the 3D models with the sketches and all this stuff. And there's kind of a running joke that my 3D models are slightly cursed and a little haunted, because I don't pose 3D human models in Blender just because I haven't found a free 3D model that will let me do that. And I wouldn't usually do it anyway. But I found just like a model of a human, just like a naked human, like, you know, Ken doll situation. And I make them, I put one in for each character that's like approximately their height. And I change the color of the model to like be the character's color so I can tell who's who. And I just kind of like scooched them around the room so that I can see how tall the characters are supposed to be in relevant in comparison to the backgrounds. But what that gets you is that sometimes you can still see them and they're just kind of like haunting over the character.
So it's the T-pose multicolored Ken conference.
It's more of a Y pose, but yes, I'm going to dig out a picture for you guys.
I desperately want to see this now.
I will find these for you. Just give me a few minutes. Somebody else talk for a few minutes while I dig up my cursed Ken doll images.
We can see about sharing it with the episode once it goes up, so don't worry too much. But I think probably the biggest thing for me is definitely about like making sure that it matches with the style of the whole piece. If you're putting something in like the background, if you have like a flowy style that has a lot of like, you know, thick and thin lines and like gestural, like really energetic, like very stylized, and then like the model is all like really uniform, like precisely 2 pixel straight lines or something like that, it can start to look a bit out of place. This is actually why I stopped using the perspective tool in Clip Studio. I kind of started to, but it was making all of my lines a little too straight. And I was like, so technically this is more accurate, but it just doesn't look right, like subtly. Like I'm looking at it and it feels out of place. It doesn't feel like my style anymore. Like it's not the same world. So it's definitely something you've got to keep an eye out for with 3D models as well. I find that whole thing about like models that have textures is something that I had like not even thought about as being like a downside. even though I was, that was my job, I was the texture artist. It was something that, like, when it came to reference stuff that I want for my comics, those would just be like a distraction. I just need the shape.
Yeah.
Because that's really what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I do know that there's probably a few people who want to bring everything over so they know every single detail of the model they're working with. Because, you know, like, for instance, the airship had, like, originally a wood grain texture. And I can see some people going, I have to draw every single line on this texture to make it look realistic. But mm-hmm. I'm just like, nah, I don't need that stuff. I just need to be able to place it. Maybe have a little bit of moving lighting, but even that's not always necessary for me. I just need a reference, a base sketch, and then I can go to town.
I have dropped some of my haunted thumbnails in the Discord chat if anyone would like to look at those.
Oh my god.
So it's like a grid of six. The top middle, you will be able to see the purple and green haunted stick figures. I can't move their legs, so whenever I need to draw them sitting on something, I'll just like lower the body so that the hips are approximately the right height to sit in the chair.
Incredible. Well, now we need to share these with the episode.
I will. It's fine. They can just live here. But yeah, these are my haunted stick figures. My strange, amazing, haunted Y-posing men that are always there.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when it comes to like placing a character in the scene, like the things that I am really looking for when it comes to reference of like the characters is basically just like, how big are they in the shot? Like, yeah, what is the proportion of their head to their torso to their legs? And if I'm doing a wacky camera angle, like how much of their shoulders are being overlapped by their head? From there, I can basically take the rest on my own. So I don't really need like the full pose or the hair or the jacket or like the other details, because that's the stuff that like, That's just the frills. I put those there myself. Mm-hmm. When it comes to 3D models, I guess for as far as advice goes, I don't think I would necessarily recommend like that people who want models for their comics would go out and learn Maya. If you do, Maya is expensive. It is hacking expensive. So if you do want to pick up like a 3D software that will let you do actual modeling, probably Blender would be the way to go, but yeah, it is a very, even Blender is still, it's a huge program. It is very complicated. You're going to be like spending a lot of time like learning those tools and tweaking vertexes and stuff like that. So if it comes down to it, like there is no shame in using like prefab stuff within your comics, unless you get very passionate about the idea of modeling and you want to do it for kind of your own reasons. There's a lot of other solutions out there. If you use Clip Studio, do check out the 3D tab, because it's pretty cool how you can move them around on the page itself and pose them right there inside your comic page. It's great.
Well, yeah, also making the 3D primitives, if your goal is just to have a bunch of squares and triangles and spheres in like as placeholders for buildings and such, the primitives should actually just cover most of your needs right there, because that's pretty much all they are.
I think the first model that I ever made intending to kind of bring into a comic was basically just a whole bunch of rectangles that I assembled in Maya and just exported. If you do end up working with like models that you're downloading or creating yourself, OBJ is the file format that you're probably going to want to look for. It's sort of the universal 3D model file format that'll work just about anywhere that you plop it. I just exported it and I brought it in. You can actually bring 3D models into Photoshop too, but it's very jank. But that was what I had at the time. So I plopped it into Photoshop and just rotated it. And I was like, this is a cityscape. I'm going to draw it over now.
One other thing that we haven't really talked about, but that I have heard some people do is using 3D models for props. Things like, I've seen people use them for like weapons or staves or things of that nature. Things that are just like, you got to draw the same thing from a bajillion different angles, depending on how the character is holding it. and it's like a rigid object. It's not like a backpack where it's going to shift and change depending on the shape of the character's body. If it's always the same shape, 3D model is fantastic for that. And usually if it's something that's in the real world, you can probably download a model for it. And if it's something more custom, like a magical girl wand or something, a 3D model for that would not be too difficult to put something primitive together. One thing I do want to say, though, is that while it does seem very intimidating, like if you open up Blender for the first time and you don't know what to expect, it's a very scary looking program. But the thing is, with Blender, using it for this purpose, you don't really have to know what most of those buttons do. You can find some very easy to follow Blender tutorials for just about anything. I remember there was one scene where I had to draw a spiral staircase from a very specific angle, and I couldn't find one that was perfect for what I wanted to do. So I just went onto YouTube and searched how to make a 3D model of a spiral staircase in Blender, and I found a tutorial that was like 5 minutes and just walked you through all the steps. And I'm like, okay, cool. So now I can make it exactly how I want it, and that took me exactly 5 minutes. And so, you know, just don't be afraid to like research stuff, follow some tutorials, get just like a basic grasp of the basics of the program, and that's really all you need. Don't let it intimidate you.
Absolutely. I think when you can get a lot of mileage out of just learning how to move the camera around, how to select things, and the general basics of like, how do you move, rotate, and scale the thing? Mm-hmm. And you start with like a cube. Mm-hmm. You can turn that into a rectangle. You can turn it into a weird trapezoid. You can put another one there.
Honestly, you learn how to use like bevel and extrude and how to create like a new cube or something. And that's literally all I use on a day-to-day, basically. It's like three functions of the program. Go forth.
In Maya, it's a lot of like, okay, here's the difference between selecting vertex, edge, and face.
Blender's the same. And, like we were talking about this before we started recording. Blender and Maya are extremely similar programs. If you learn one, you basically know the other. I trained in... I do use both. For this purpose, they are remarkably similar because I learned Maya first, and then when I was out of school and did not want to afford a Blender or a Maya license, I was like, let's look at Blender and the modeling programs, or the modeling, the very, very basics of the 3D modeling setup in Blender is very similar to Maya.
I haven't given it a fair shot because when I tried it out, I found the camera moved in a way that I didn't like. So I was like, I'm going back to Maya. I have an educator copy. So,
That's cheating.
I will say, if you go look at the CSP assets for like the pre-made castles and stuff like that, you're never going to be able to unsee the same castle that all these manhwa use.
Oh, that's true. There are popular models that you can start.
There really are, which is another reason why it's good to at least make the basics to be able to make what your vision is. Once you see it, you cannot unsee it.
Within Clip Studio, they also have a bunch of like preset poses for those character models that you can snap them into. Like they're neat. It's a good idea. A lot of them are like very anime. So if you use them, I would recommend still putting in a little bit of work to like tweak and customize the pose afterwards, just to make sure it's like it fits your character's body language and don't just go with whatever is kind of the default.
One of the interesting things about it too is they will fit pretty much any body type for the CSP models. So you can have like your muscle bound guy doing the cute anime girl pose, but you might have to still adjust it because clipping will happen. So it's still useful to actually know the tools and how to manipulate the mannequins.
So I guess maybe one thing that I'm interested in hearing you guys' take on before we kind of wrap it up here is I've gotten a lot of comments from folks whenever I talk about, hey, use 3D models. They're handy. They're not a substitute for knowledge of perspective and stuff, but they can be really useful. I do occasionally get people saying, it's like, well, isn't that cheating? That feels like it's cheating because you're not actually drawing that thing. You're just tracing it. So that's cheating. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I personally think that as long as you're mindful of how you're using assets and that you read the licensing on it, that's also important, that it's just another tool. I mean, I've seen people going, using digital is cheating, yeah, or using, you know, the undo button is cheating. And it's like, why are you making things harder on yourself?
I've heard people say that using references at all is cheating.
I know, it's wild.
I could not disagree with that statement harder. Like, that's how you...
Just keep your eyes closed
things.
Your entire life then.
Your entire memory is reference. Using your entire memory is cheating.
Mm-hmm. Part of the whole joy of it is like taking these things that like are like real, either in the real world or real to us in our imagination, and like putting them down on the page, and like anything that will help that kind of stay true to your vision, I think is like, not that all of it is fair game, because there's definitely a certain border where it can turn into, like, if you, once you get into the zone of like plagiarism, using photography or models that like you don't have like the rights to use, or there's also just being lazy and taking these things and just pasting them in straight up without attempting to like convert them into the style or just use them as a reference for the part of the thing.
Yeah.
But like if I need to draw somebody who's like, you know, walking briskly from a vantage point of somebody standing on a balcony like three floors above them, if I just invent that on the page, I'm just going to have like a blob. It's not going to look very good. You need reference for some things.
I will say definitely if you're building things in The Sims or Final Fantasy or any of those other like
Minecraft. I've seen people say they use Minecraft and it boggles the mind.
Yeah, but if you're building things in Sims and stuff that have like prefabricated designs and such already, do not follow those too closely because you do not have permission to use those specific designs. And that could possibly be a bit too close to plagiarism for a lot of people's comfort. So it's usually best to take inspiration from things and, you know, use it as a tool, but don't follow things too closely unless you have actually licensed the asset.
Very much, yeah.
Definitely. So I believe that is a wrap for today. Thank you all so much for listening. I've been your host, Farrah Thane. And you can check out my work at witchwoodcomic.com or chiralt.sevensmith.net.
And I'm Ray, and you can find my work at empyreancomic.com or Ravenfell on Webtoon.
And I've been Star. You can find my comic castoff at castoff-comic.com.
Thank you for listening to Screen Tones, a webcomic podcast. You can find all our episodes at screentonescast.com. We've got a couple links over there to our Ko-fi and merch shop, where your support will help us create more episodes and keep us talking about anything and everything webcomics. You can also find us on YouTube, Blue Sky, Tumblr, and our Discord server. Thank you so much for listening, sharing, rating, and supporting, and we'll see you next time.